gentle listeners. Look at this. Another week, another episode. All of us here back together at the old clubhouse. Oh, hi, fam. I went to see this movie. I've been waiting to see this movie for a long time, right? It's called The Right Stuff. It's from 1983. Did I do that right? Is it 1903? No, that'd be 1903. It's about the guys who... the astronauts from the Mercury mission, the first manned mission into space, you know, in the 60s. This is before the moon landing. These are the guys that had to test the rockets and shit before the moon landing. There was like seven guys or whatever. And it's a classic. I think it's always in like top 100 films ever made. I've been meaning to see it for a long time. It's 3.5 hours long. So I've always been, that could be the longest movie I've ever seen. I don't know. I think Nixon from Oliver Stone is close. I gotta see that again. I liked Nixon. I gotta see that again. That was a weird, it was a weird movie, but kept me interested. So I went to watch it once on Netflix, and I remember one time, I think I mentioned this last week, sorry, I'll just recap it really quick. I think Kevin Smith, I remember him talking about it once on O&A, and he was saying how he's like, you got to see that. It's like such an he went on this like 5-minute fucking diatribe. I was like, it's such a fucking great movie. You got to see it in the theater if you ever get a chance. And I had it on Netflix, and I tried to watch it. I got about 5 minutes in, and I can already. I'm gonna wait to see this. I'm gonna wait to see this in the theater because it was too long. And so I think that was 2 years ago almost. And finally showing it to ArcLight, which is cool. The ArcLight Hollywood, every week they show just random classic movies. It's fucking great. And they're at 7:30 too, which means I can make it to them for my job because I'm way across town, right? So now the cast is fucking awesome. It's Ed Harris, Dennis Quaid, and more importantly, Dennis Quaid's Jack Nicholson smile, which he fucking rocks constantly in this movie. As soon as he comes, I mean, every scene he's in, he's got this devilish, like, ear-to-ear fucking grin. Like, he's such a ham in this movie. The guy that plays Gus Grissom is that dude that pops up in Tarantino movies and shit sometimes. I couldn't even tell you one other thing. If you see him, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy. But I couldn't even honestly name another movie at the moment that I know him from, but he's in stuff. This guy can let me over. I fucking hate getting on the 90 over here. Yeah, him and, what's-his-face from Lance Henriksen, isn't it? And this poor guy. I'm telling you, I think he got 4 lines in the entire movie. I mean, he fucking barely talks. But he's like one of the guys, one of the astronauts, but I guess he was like the 4th guy to go up, so he wasn't that important, but he probably just had to show up and just shoot for like whole day, so just sit up. That must have been the most boring, thankless part. Fucking poor Lance. But, this movie starts out with, it's about test pilots, okay? This movie is about test pilots, right? It starts out in, like, 1947, and it has Sam Shepard plays Chuck Yeager, the guy who broke the sound variant, okay, 1947. That started it all. There's test pilots, and these guys are crazy, and they live in over on Edwards Air Force Base, okay? And, I'm like, okay, we're starting with the sound barrier breaking. Now, I know this is like the latest movie review in history. The fucking movie's almost 40 years old. But, Sam Shepard plays Chuck Yeager. I'm like, all right. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know a ton about, you know, I don't know a shit ton about this. I'm like, I know Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier. I didn't know he broke it that long. You know, I didn't know he broke it that long ago in the 40s. I mean, that's like, you know, my grandparents were still young. I think he was still, you know, fucking my grandma in the ass back then. They were just young, hip swingers. Grandma's hair looked good. She wore mini skirts. They went out, you know, and they jitterbugged and shit like that. And she'd kick up her skirt, and you could see her panties. And back then, you know, it was like ancient porn. And even predated Playboy. You know what I'm saying? That's important stuff. None of us would have been born. Okay, so I'm like, all right. So they show this whole thing about how test pilots are crazy, and Chuck Yeager sets the fucking bar for everybody. So they got to test out. There's like more planes coming now. There's like they're constantly coming up with new and faster jets, and everyone's got to keep breaking the sound barrier. So they bring out a bunch of more hotshot astronauts, and it turns pilots, who turns out to be I can't remember the guy. I don't know the goddamn actor's name, but you know Gus Grissom and I forgot Dennis. Alan Shepard. And this is what's fucked up. Some of the actors and actual guys have the same last names. So it's like Alan Shepard and Sam Shepard. There's Scott Glenn and some other Glenn that went in a fucking rocket ship. What's his name? Whatever the fuck. And then Ed Harris comes in later and he plays Alan Shepard. Hey Shepard. So this fucking thing. Now they're talking about the first rocket to go on the moon. Why am I so scatterbrained right now? What the fuck is my problem? I can't, like, this is a week ago already, so I'm trying to remember everything. Sorry. I'm sorry it's not more concise and compact. In other words, let's start with C. Then they want to make a rocket ship, and they're like, where are we going to find the guys that have the right stuff? So finally, they go through all these different options, and like, why don't we get these Wiley test pilots? So like this happens like over an hour in, and already like this, it's so fucking slow. This movie is like so slow and boring, and I'm just checking off one after another. I mean, just like you watch. I mean, when you're into movies, you watch them on like 9 different levels. That's what makes a great movie great, because there's so many things that could go right or wrong, and when they all go right, it's like a miracle. So like just screenplay wise, I'm like, check, don't need this scene, don't need this scene, don't need, I mean, it's like scene after fucking scene that do nothing for the story, do not progress the characters whatsoever. It's just fucking, just spinning its tires. I'm like, why are we watching this? It goes fucking on, this movie goes on and on, okay? They never even needed they could have done without this entire Chuck Yeager storyline. I don't know if fucking Sam Shepard, who plays Chuck Yeager, I don't know if he had pictures of like the head of whatever studio put this out fucking a guy in the ass. this fucking Hail Caesar on the wings of eagles. Baird Whitlock, allegedly. That was a scandal. I don't know what his deal was, but somehow Sam Shepard manages. He's maybe needed for 4 fucking minutes of this movie. And somehow he stays through till the bitter end. All the way through, they keep going back to him. His fucking storyline is beyond over. There is no reason. It was the most fucking amateurish screenplay. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, why are these scenes here? We don't need any of this. There's no... This guy's story is fucking done. Why are we still watching him? And they come back to these, like, every time. So, like, Sam Shepard's character declines to go do the rockets. So he watches his buddies leave. And then they get all the glory. And he's kind of bummed that he didn't go. But then he's kind of not bummed. I don't know what... It just keeps cutting back to them at this old rickety fucking bar they all used to drink at on the base. Just watching them, get all this glory and shit, and they'll just kind of get, all the guys would be like, look at those dummies, because every time one of the rockets would blow up, the test rockets, they would just like be on the news, and like, another test rocket is blown up, and the astronauts won't be going out into space, and all the test pilots back at Edwards are like, oh, look at those dumb guys, they'll never make it up to the moon, the dumb son of bitches, and then Sam Shepard would like kind of silently walk outside and like kick a soda can. This scene happens like nine times. It happens so many times. I'd be watching it and I'd be like, oh, it's been 15 minutes. Because I checked my watch about 500 times. I'm like, it's been like 12 minutes. They got to have Sam Shepard coming on. Sure enough, they cut back to him. Way the fuck after. The guy's not needed. I could not believe. It was fucking, I used the word bizarre kind of loosely, but it was seriously like bizarre. Like from any kind of screenwriting or editing standpoint, I'm like, who the fuck, what studio signed off on the fucking cut? The last cut of this movie at 3.5 hours long with all this unnecessary shit in it. They go on top of that. So this whole, whatever. It's a really fucking boring movie. There's some cool sequences in it. There was some stuff that I was like, for a good 40 minutes, they had me like when they're really, testing out the rockets and like just getting ever closer and how tough it's going to be. But like, dude, the jokes were, I know it was 83, but the jokes and like the gags in it were horrendous. There's this fucking scene where like, He goes to Dennis Quaid, so they're all like buddies. So whenever one of them goes up into space, I don't know if this is true, but all the other pilots get to be on the mic and talk to the guy inside the shuttle, you know? And there's this part where, like, I don't know why. I don't know if it explains it. I missed it. Dennis Quaid has to go to Australia to be able to talk to Alan Shepard, Ed Harris, while he's in this particular orbit. So he goes to and they're wasting so much time in this Australia. There's just these fucking dialogue scenes that go on and on. Like, Dennis Quaid just, like, talking about his laundry and shit for fucking time. I'm like, what in the hell? And there's, like, these Aborigines. I don't know what this is. I don't understand what we're supposed to be getting at. But, like, they pump up these, like, Aborigine guys. I think one of them was in Crocodile Dundee 2. At least he better have been, because, like, that was, like, fucking Aborigine paradise. And, like, they build this giant bonfire, and it's supposed to be some kind of spiritual connection to the fucking ship. And I guess at one point, Alan Shepard saw all these little fucking, like, weird light particles. He kind of said they look like fireflies. They're all outside the window. I guess later on it turned out to be like ice flaking off, because he was the first guy really in space to do that orbit. I mean, besides the fucking Ruski, but we don't know what that motherfucking communist heathen saw. But he's like, oh, there's a bunch of fireflies outside that window. But it keeps cutting back to this, like, with, like, the fucking, oh, it's a didgeridoo. It's a didgeridoo. That was like an Irish-Australian guy. And there's all the fucking sparkles that are coming out of this fire. And then it would, like, kind of superimpose over this thing. And I'm like, the fire is supposed to be making these things? It was so fucking dumb. I was like, I don't know what analogy or the fucking device they're going for here, but it's not making any sense. So they mission accomplished. They make it to space. They do all the, they make history. The thing flies around a fucking planet. Guy's out there in a fucking satellite with his balls in zero G flowing around in his fucking pants, right? And the fucking movie still goes on for like another 40 minutes. I'm like, when is this going to end? The fucking mission is over. This is everything the movie built up to. It's long gone. And now we're just like hanging out at different celebrations and like just fucking getting doted on by the just parades and just fucking going on and on. But like there's like five or six characters and he just keeps bouncing around, all of them just like, and he's just dumb domestic situations. It was fucking so I was fucking enraged. I was so pissed. I can't believe this is a fucking classic movie. There's no fucking reason for it. It wasn't like terrible on every level, but like it was a meandering fucking, I'm telling you, of my entire life, I'll say this, what the fuck is it, that famous one that sunk the whole fucking studio, I forget the name of this, I always want to say Days of Heaven, I just listened to an old episode where I tripped over the same goddamn title, Heaven's Gate. This, Heaven's Gate, and Lord of the Rings 2 are three of the most needlessly long, self-fucking indulgent movies I've ever seen. I couldn't fucking believe this. I think there was still 10 minutes left, and I had to go. I was getting like itchy. I'm like, I can't fucking take this. I have to leave. I gotta go. I have to get out of here. Fuck that movie. Fuck the right stuff. If it's on your like bucket list of like, oh, I gotta see it because it's a classic, do not worry if you don't ever see this movie. It's a fucking completely unnecessary fucking snooze fest of a fucking movie. And then I read, what did I just spend 13 minutes on it? I'm sorry, everybody. That was way too long. There's no, like the movie, this is art imitating life here. The fucking review was needlessly long for that. Then I started reading about the moon landing and moon landing conspiracies, and I know Scott's ears just perked up. I'm pretty fucking sure we went to the moon. I'm like 90% sure, but there's like just enough evidence where it's kind of like, yeah, it is kind of weird. I don't know. I'm like I said, here's the thing. If it came out that something turned up and proved that it was absolutely faked, I wouldn't be shocked. I'll say that. But I'm pretty fucking sure we did. But like, there really is some weird stuff about it. But I don't know. What am I, Mr. Fucking Moon? Oh, I did fucking stand up last night for the first. Why are you LOL? Just give me a fucking answer. What does LOL mean, you fucking dumb bitch? To fucking tell me yes or no so I can plan my night, you fucking weirdo. God damn it. I haven't done stand-up in 2 weeks because I've been completely wrapped up in this video, like quite a fucking bit, and I just have not had a chance to. So I don't know what's going on with me and Flappers, but all of a sudden, I swear, it's like everyone got together before I got there, and they're like, everybody, don't laugh what fucking Luke says, right? Like, no matter how fucking, this is the third time this has happened now. No matter how fucking lousy and pedestrian these other comics' jokes are, they'll get laughs at the most inane shit. They're like the most simple, unthought. I mean, some of it is legit funny. It seems like they've been getting a little, even though that place is a fucking complete, like, one flew over the cuckoo's nest fucking place, which, with the amount of wackos that go in there. They have been getting a little bit better. Either everyone's getting better, or they're just getting a better caliber of comic in general. I mean, of an open mic comic, you know. But, like, one guy, the fucking Josh Schneider did 2 minutes on fucking Street Fighter 2. And, I mean, it was getting last, and everyone was with him. I was like, Street Fighter 2? What the fuck? And then this other dude gets up. Oh, God, this guy fucking, oh, my God. This guy, dude, just hang up your spurs. I know I'm not, whatever. I know I'm no fucking Jerry Seinfeld, but God damn, is this dude bad. He does 3 minutes on fucking Pokemon. And he's getting laughs, and people are with him. I'm like, I haven't heard of Pokemon since 1999. That's still a thing? Your whole act is about fucking Pokemon? And he's killing it. I'm like, well, my reference has got to fucking do well. It was a fucking good, it was a very easy, obvious Goodfellas reference. The entire joke didn't hang on it, but it was the bow on top of the Christmas present of the joke. And it really is going to fuck it up if they don't get it. Here's the joke. I'll tell it to you really quick. There was / is a hip-hop group called Bone Thugs and Harmony. And what the guys in the band did was each one gave themselves a name that exemplified something about their personality. It was kind of like the Spice Girls, only with more, you know, drugs and violence involved. So I was like, yeah, you had Busy Bone, you had Crazy Bone, you had Flesh and Bone, you had Jimmy Two Times Bone. He got that name because he said everything twice, like, I'm going to go get the rolling papers. But then there was a guy named Lazy Bone, okay? How pissed do you think the other guys were that they didn't think of the name Lazy Bone? Like, after the show, they'd all be out there fucking loading up the van, and he would just be sitting up there with his feet up and shit, watching. I'm like, yo, man, you're gonna help us out? He's like, no, man, what the fuck? I'm fucking Lazy Bone. That's my character. Yeah, that's my character. What if one of the fans sees me? I'll lose all my street cred. And I was like, then they wanted to hire a fifth guy, and they wanted to call him Really Hard Working Bone, but the label said they couldn't afford it. And they wanted one of the other guys to change his name to Always On Time For Things Bone, but they were like, no, that's impossible. That's a joke. All right, so at the Goodfellas, you know what? I'll put the set on after this fucking Song of the Week, WEAK, I will put on this fucking set. And I go, you know, Jimmy Two Times Bone, nothing, not a fucking sound. I go, seriously, there's no Goodfellas fans in here. No laugh at that. No, and I seriously, like, 9 seconds later, some dude goes, oh. One fucking guy! Dude, the place was packed! There was like 30 fucking people in it. One guy got it. How do you not know Jimmy Two Times? Are you fucking serious? I know you're like, Luke, that's a movie. Maybe not everybody's... No, it's Goodfellas. It wasn't a fucking scene from The Bicycle Thief. Everyone, come on. Dude, give me a break here. No one got it. I was so pissed. I ate my balls on this fucking set. I'm just like... I was so fucking... I wanted to walk by and just, like... Remember that part in an Airplane where she brings the fucking acoustic guitar to the sick girl in the back? And while she's bringing the guitar, she's holding up in the air. It bounces off every single fucking person's head. And the aisle's like, ooh, ah, ooh, ooh. It's hitting everybody. I wanted to walk through the fucking place because it's almost like there's a bar and then there's a row of tables. So it's almost like a straight, long... Almost like a hallway where, like, you walk through, like, almost down an aisle. And I wanted to walk and just punch every fucking person in the face on the way out the door. I was like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck. I was so mad. I usually don't get like that. I mean, I'm not that kind of guy, like, fuck the audience. But I was like, come on. None of these, all these fucking shit jokes you got. I had a bunch of other stuff that I thought was good. It was good. It wasn't shit. It was like, there were jokes that had beats and stuff in it and structure, you know? And it had timing, and it fucking nothing. They laughed at all this other shit. You should have fucking heard. I should have wrote down the other jokes that were getting laughs. I would look around the room, and I'd be like, I'd seriously be the only one laughing. I'm like, am I in a fucking Twilight Zone episode? What the fuck is going on here? Like, does every single person in here know each other, and they're laughing to support each other, and they're just like, oh, fuck that fucking big giant Guido up there? Dude, it was. I was so pissed. I'm like, fuck. God, I'm getting fucking killed this year. Nothing is working. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what my disconnect is with the LA audiences, but nothing is working. I'm just fucking eating my ass. So I'm just going to start going through and fucking raiding my old shit again. And fucking God, I gotta get something going. This is fucking, it's just really pissing me off. I'm like, what the fuck's the point of going? I'm not gonna get any fucking laughs. I'm just gonna go home all pissed. It's like not even fun. I was aggravated. Fuck it. Luke's saying, there's gonna be a lot of bitching this episode. Well, there's a lot of bitching every episode, so sorry. So this music video shoot, right? We go to shoot these fucking, yeah, I don't want to say anything back. You never know who's listening. As we found out this week, you never know who's listening to these shows. Come on, Annie. You never know who's listening to the show. We shot this music video for a German recording artist. This was day two. And this day we were going to shoot downtown on a rooftop. This took so much time and, you know, and trouble, effort, a lot of scouting, a lot of driving, a lot of talking to people, a lot of trying to talk people down on price, cajoling, you know, nickel and diamond, that kind of shit. Got the rooftop, and then we had to go to a recording studio after. She wanted a shot of her, like, giving it her all in the fucking, with the headphones on her and putting one finger on the, or putting one hand cupping the ear of the headphone while she's singing, like the We Are the World video. So the rooftop, 6 a.m., down in, most of downtown is a shithole, but pretty shitty area downtown. There's a decent, you know, good size crew, what, 5-6 of us? Tree Man came out and fucking, he was B camera op, and Pete came and was the DP. And Dude Bogues directed, and fucking Shaka, the man, the fucking warrior, came and did Grip Electric, and a bunch of, the troll's wife came. He's still known as the troll of the show. She's awesome. She's the one that does all the great FX makeup and shit. She came to just to do hair and makeup and stuff. I know a couple other people, but we get in there and there's a little rooftop on the rooftop with this big sign on it, and this thing was fucking perfect. Now when I scouted the place, the people that owned it were fucking really cool. They were like artist types and they were very artist friendly. She's like, you guys can shoot up there, but it's not covered under production insurance. And we can't promise, you know, if anything happens up there, you're liable. So we don't really, I'll tell you can use it, but we don't exactly tell you to shoot up there. Like, it's not a great idea. We're like, all right. We love not great ideas. So I'm like, Dude Bokes takes one look at this fucking thing. He's like, oh my God, we got to get her up. I was like, yes, absolutely. So the people, now she's, when I was there scouting, because it was that night, I had a lot of shit on, you know, I tried to cover all of the bases. She's like, yeah, we have like a little ladder. I think it should reach up there. I didn't think to go and check the ladder. She brings out, it's a two-step ladder. Okay, this thing's probably 15 feet, 12, 15 feet high to get up. So now she's still in makeup. It takes her like 90 minutes to get her hair and makeup and shit done. So we're setting up, and Dude Bogues is standing there doing the thing where he's like looking up and he's got his thumb and his forefinger like on his chin under his mouth, like doing the thinking. He's like, yeah, we really got to get up there. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get us a ladder. It's downtown LA. I don't give a shit what I got to do. I'm leaving here and I'm not coming back with a fucking ladder. So it's like, dun, 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 like fucking like army music, like dun, 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 dun. Like I got a little drummer boy fucking following me. I'm like, I'm going to find the ladder, goddammit. So I go, oh, you know what? If any point of reference for LA, anyone in LA, it's down, it's by that LA courthouse downtown with that really weird looking like fucking building with no windows on it. It's real ugly, and there's a Burger King and a McDonald's right there. What the fuck? It's down by it's 18th Street, and I think it might be Olympic, might be the cross street. But if you ever had a ticket or had to go anything for court, that's like the courthouse. It's awful. It's right there. So I start walking around. There's all kinds of little warehouses and shit, and there's some bodegas and you know, this kind of shit. First place I go was some big fucking it's near the garment district, so there's tons of like places that have like sewing supplies and all this kind of stuff. And I go in and I go to the first guy. There's just kind of people milling about. It was kind of a shop and kind of a warehouse. Like you could kind of walk in up the street and buy things, but like not really. It wasn't very like street customer friendly. There was just kind of shit everywhere. And I see a guy getting out of his car and I was like, hey man, you work here? And the guy's like, I was like, okay. And he was Mexican. I'm like, he doesn't speak English. I go in and I'm like, hey man, is it the owner here? Oh my god, I wish I could have got a picture of this guy. This fucking dude. You know what he looked like? He looked like the Mexican version of that dude from fucking Trailer Park Boys that always has the one with the fucking the big rockabilly hairdo and those sideburns that come down to like his mouth. He looked just like that. He had the same fucking hair. It was all like, he had like a fucking Mexican guy afro, and he had those sideburns that came all the way down and like down like the sides of his fucking. He looked just like that guy. And I'm like, hey man, are you the owner? He's like, and he just kind of points to this guy doesn't fucking speak English either. He points to me, just this little fucking Asian man who's probably like 70 years old. I go up to him. I'm like, you got a ladder? And the guy looks at his old wife and then like looks back at me. It was like that part of Dan and Godfather 2. Remember when he goes back to kill, De Niro goes back to meet Don, what's his fucking name? Hang on. I can't remember his name, but now that Don is old, the one that tried to kill him when he was a boy, so De Niro goes back to get his blessing to start his own olive oil company, and he gives it to the old man. He's like, this man wants, he wants you to bless his olive oil. And the Don's so old, he looks at the fucking servant guy, and he looks back at De Niro and just gives him this like fucking completely like blank stare, like I don't even know what this is. This is the look I got from the guy. That's what it reminded me of. And I'm just like, do you have a letter? A letter? Oh, I don't know why. I was trying to sound Spanish. This guy was fucking Japanese. And I'm like, you don't speak English, and this fucking guy speaks Spanish. How you own the place, and this guy's your employee. How the fuck does anyone communicate? So, long story short, I went to like probably 6 or 7 people around this whole city block. Dude, no one, one person kind of spoke English, like, no, and they just kind of like laugh, like, I don't know anything about anything. I sit behind this counter and sell things, but I don't know what goes on in my life on a day-to-day basis. Like, they just got off a fucking spaceship from fucking Saturn. Fucking, no one speaks English down there. It was fucking terrifying. I'm like, I just like stood in the middle of the street, like, my arms in the air. I was like fucking Tom Cruise and Vanilla Sky in the empty Times Square. I was like, I was like, does anybody speak English? So I'm walking back and I'm like, fuck, I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm going to walk a whole nother block up the other way. And I see this little garage door open for this big ass building. And I look in and I see a couple of, the guy. So there's a guy like sweeping up in the garage. And I'm like, hey man, you work here? This fucking guy didn't speak English either. He's like, I don't know. And he like points to these other guys. So I see a fucking pickup truck full of ladders. There's a whole bunch of fucking ladders in the back. Finally, a fucking white man! A white man and a black man! And they both spoke English. I was like, hey man, you guys working? Like, yeah man, what's up, dog? Shit. He didn't really talk like that, but like he might as well have. Like, even if the guy had it, he was like, yes, what can I help you with, young man? He still said, like, it was just so great to hear English. I felt like I was fucking lost in translation. I'm like, hey man, I'm shooting right here. Like, you could see the fucking, this place was like, it almost touched. It was like next door to the building we were shooting at. They were almost touching each other. So I'm like, listen, man, I'm right here at the corner and we're shooting, and I need to get a fucking ladder so we can get. I'm like, see, like, if you look out here, you could literally see us. I'm like, I need a ladder for like 1 hour. I'll give you $20, like something. And the guy's like, all right, that's my boss. So he has to buy this little Ethiopian man. I'm like, oh no, oh shit, oh no. But the guy was like, he's like, yeah, man, yeah, take it, go ahead. I was like, really? Thanks, man. And I fucking, I'm gonna give him 20. The guy wouldn't take the money. He wouldn't even fucking take my $20. It's like, holy shit, what a fucking nice guy. So I show up at the ladder and they're like, what the fuck? How did you get that? I'm like, dude, this is like a 25 minute fucking trip around a whole block, dozens of fucking people involved to get this goddamn ladder. It was like fucking Saving Private Ryan. So I fucking get the ladder and Nervous Mark showed up with his drone and like, oh man, just watching the footage, it was fucking great. This thing would fly around all the fucking buildings. It's gonna look, the shots with the drone of her on top of that thing like made the video right there. I'm like, this is fucking, like, all this right here was worth it for these shots. It's gonna look fucking so cool. Like, the sign she's, there's a picture of it on my, on our Flickr page. Like I said, I don't understand why. If you go to Flickr, I'll work on this tomorrow. If you put in Live from the 405 podcast, it just says this page does not exist. It doesn't come up in the search results. So if you go to lookinggoodradio.com and go to the bottom of the page where there's the pictures and there's the Flickr, I put some pictures. You can see this fucking sign. Like, we couldn't have art departmented this sign any better that she's in front of. It was such a fucking perfect back. The color of the letter, everything, all the colors in it, it was fucking perfect, you know? The only shitty part is that there was a good looking gang graffiti tag that was real, like, well done. But then it just had three, like, it was like Andre, Tina, Tony, T-O-N-I, or something. Like, these three kind of shitty names. And she's dancing around. There's just like these three random names. Actually, that looked really gangy. It didn't look like fun. I like graffiti. It just looked like pissed off. Here's my name, and I'll fucking kill your fucking family if you disrespect me. Don't disrespect me, homie. And he's got the fucking the hairnet thing on and the sunglasses and the fucking blue flannel, which is only the top thing buttoned. And he's got tattoos all over his hand. Like, don't disrespect me, homie. And they put some kind of gang thing together. Ugh, that fucking culture. Enough. So, okay. So, I put this whole camera package together and everything. And we're unpacking it. It was a fair amount of shit off of my work. Here's another thing. Like, this wasn't in the budget. We got our cameras taken away, which we were supposed to have for the shoot, and had to give them back. I brought a whole fucking camera package, no charge for any of this stuff. Whatever, we got it done. And we're taking away, I'm like, man, everything's going great. We're loading in, everyone's here on time, no problems. We're taking all the gear out, everything's out. I'm like, look at this camera, we got a fuck ton of Canon lenses. Like, it was a great fucking lens package. Folks like, where's the SD cards? Oh, and I just felt my stomach sink. I was like, oh my God, I forgot the fucking SD cards, which, you know, holds the camera footage in the camera. He just looks at me just like, please tell me you didn't fucking forget the SD cards. I was like, I did, because whatever. I could spend 3.5 minutes explaining why I did, but I did. Luckily, he happened to have just enough fucking cards. Dude Bogues brought his own, and we were able to get to the day, but I was like, I'm going to have to fucking drive all the way to Marina Del Rey, drive back, probably hold up the shoot 45 minutes. That would really suck. So, besides that, everything's going great. Starting to shoot. Now, she wanted an actor for this thing. She wanted a good-looking dude to come up and be a guy she, like, plays off of. Because the song's about how, like, you love people, but you hate people. You know, but in the end, you still love each other. You know, a relationship has its up and downs. Sometimes you fight. Sometimes you don't. So, you know, sometimes things are great. Sometimes they aren't. That's pretty much, you know, what the song is about. So she wanted a guy up there, you know, that she could kind of play off of, show these emotions, show this emotional roller coaster that is love and that is a relationship. So this, we have to go through, like, oh, I wish I could have read the casting notice. Oh my God, it was so mean. The one I put on my Craigslist. And I was just like, I don't know, it was funny. I'm just like, just show up and be like, just show up and pucker and be like a Zoolander model and shit, right? So we had to, folks went to a legit casting one, so we had to be like casting hot dudes. And we had to go through fucking pages. Like, every time, it's always something gay or involving guys. There's never fucking like hot chicks with us. It's always something. So we got to like go through pages. Well, she gave us kind of a description of the dude she wanted. So we just have to like look through actors' pages. Like, this sucks. Hang on. I gotta answer this text. There's pussy involved here. Where do you want to go? Hang in with me. I'm texting in traffic and doing a fucking podcast at the same time. That's motherfucking multitasking. How do you like that? That's what a fucking Italian does from fucking Depew. Eat my fucking shit. Sorry, there's no reason for that. No reason to be fucking mean to you guys. Okay, so, we go through this whole thing, and dude, we get a guy cast, then he cancels. We get another guy, she doesn't like him. Like, it's just one fucking thing after another. And I'm like, everything's able to control, like, you know, of like locations and production and all the stuff we got to do, except for like the human element of the actors. The fucking most pain in the ass of the whole thing probably was getting this fucking actor. I'm like, listen, it's a half day. We need it for 4 hours. It's $50. That's pretty fucking good for Craigslist. $50 cash on the fucking day. So, this guy shows up. You couldn't write this character. He was straight out of like a fucking TV show, or like a fucking like a bad movie or something. Like, he's like blonde. He's dressed like a fucking forest ranger, like a park ranger. He's got these like shorts that go halfway between. They're halfway down his thigh, between his knee and his balls. That's where these shorts come down. And some, like, weird kind of T-shirt on. And this, I think he had kind of like a button-up, but like a button-up shirt to wear as a jacket. Like, just a, you know, a shirt with buttons on it, long sleeve shirt. And, like, sneakers. And he's got a fucking, he's blonde, he's got a mustache. He reminded me of fucking, I swear, with shorter hair, but he reminded me of Todd Parker from Boogie Nights. He reminded me of Thomas Jane in Boogie Nights, this guy. Like, he didn't have that attitude, but, like, he just kind of looked, he had the same mustache. He just kind of looked like him. It just reminded me of him. So he's like, hey, man, I'm here. Is it the surfer guy? He's probably like fucking, I don't know, early 30s. And he's like in real good shape and shit. He's a real sexy Rhode Island bitch, right? And He shows up with a duffel bag, and like I'm in the middle of 90 things, so I just kind of pass this off to in fact, Bokes is the one that cast him and got in touch with him. I mean, I sent him the breakdown of what he had to do, but Bokes was the one that initially found and cast this guy. So I'm just like, yeah, go talk to him. He's the director. I'm running around fucking taking pictures and bothering fucking nervous Mark. So they take him back in like the there's like this little kind of up this little building that was like the size of a studio apartment kind of on the roof that where we were getting everything. She's getting her makeup done and we had all our stuff. He takes him in there. He's like, all right, let's see what you got for clothes. So the guy, he opens up the fucking duffel bag. And then he opens up and there's like a book bag in the duffel bag. He's got this huge bag. Like he's got a fucking wardrobe with him, right? Like the one, like Mac always brings one. Mac brings a big ass fucking, like a big travel bag full of clothes. Cause Mac's a fucking professional actor and a professional in general. And he takes out the backpack. And then I think this is what Bokes him. And then he took out, he opens up this bigger bag, takes out a smaller bag. Out of the smaller bag, he takes out like a shirt. And Bokes is like, where's the rest? And the guy goes, oh, this is it. I just brought what I was wearing. And he's like, you're supposed to bring three choices. And the guy was like, oh, really? So he comes out and he goes, what did you tell this guy? Did you tell him? So I show Bokes email. I go, bring three choices. I go, I told him exactly what you fucking told me to tell him. And he's like, this guy fucking, all he has on is what he's wearing. We both just stare at each other for like 15 seconds. We're like, how can anyone be this fucking stupid? Like, this guy was such a fucking himbo. Just like a dumb, like, I don't know, I guess he was like broke and like living down. He told Bokes, yeah, I slipped down here last night. Cause like he had reservations about doing it. Cause he had to take an Uber from like Santa Monica. I don't know what, but he told us he like slept downtown. Like I think he fucking slept on like a bench or some shit. This guy was a fucking mess. So we're like, okay, so we have to give him, now we're near the garment district where they sell clothes and shit like that. So Bokes is like, can you, all right, the guy's like, I'll tell you what, I'll go buy a shirt. So we give him money and, we give him money to go buy a shirt. Bokes is like, don't get a black shirt and like some pants or something. He comes back 40 minutes later, covered in sweat because he had to run a couple blocks. It was pretty hot. It was like fucking 80 degrees or something, 85 degrees on fucking Sunday. Like, by afternoon, we were fucking roasting. Comes back with a blue shirt. Bokes is like, this is blue. The guy's like, oh, yeah, you wanted a black shirt? He's like, yes, we need a black shirt. So he has to go back out and fucking return the shirt. And by now, another 40 minutes goes by. I'm like, I can't believe how fucking dumb this guy is. So finally, he gets the right fucking shirt, and we got him together like in fucking The Prestige when they have the fucking drunk version of what, the guy that plays Wolverine. Remember they bring in like the double of him to do the act on stage, and the guy's just a fucking mess, and they're like trying to comb his hair and shit. Like, we just like barely got this dude in shape, but we made it happen. So we got done. Everybody fucking kicked ass. It was great. It was like for them it was a half day. So the plan after this was she wants the recording studio shots, and the recording. So I was a bitch too, man. I went through like so many fucking people and just one thing after another. I finally find one. All we really need, we have, with just the last week's shoot of the boat and the beach and this rooftop, we have more than enough for the video already. Dude Bokes didn't even want to do the recording booth. It was going to put us over budget, but she was adamant on it. So we did what we had to do to get the damn thing. For like, I got it as low as possible, you know. I'm like, we're only going to be in there. Everyone I told, I was like, 90 minutes. We'll be fucking in and out. A couple shots of her in a vocal booth. So I get a vocal booth right in fucking North Hollywood. Beautiful. Shoot downtown. Go home. We're done in NoHo. Bing, bang, boom. Me and fucking Bokes split up the fucking gear. Go our separate ways. We're done by 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Now, I had to be at El Portel Theater in North Hollywood by 6 for the Corolla. I didn't have to, but, you know. I had to, but I didn't have to. Be at the fucking thing to work on the Corolla live show that night. Right down the fucking street from my house. Hang on.
I'm at Aroma having dinner.
What do you want, honey? What are you doing? Make some fucking plans. I got shit to do. Hang on. I'm going to pause this really quick. Hang on a second.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Back. So she tells me 10 a.m. that morning, oh, I found a recording studio I really like. Check this place out. Shows me all the pictures and shit. And it's real nice, ornate wood, cavern. It's called like The Caverns, okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's nice looking. I look down, snap zoom onto the fucking address, Thousand Oaks. It's in Thousand Oaks. It's fucking like an hour away. It's like 45 minutes away. And I'm trying to tell him, like, you know, it's just, I got a place in North Hollywood. It's not really worth the drive. And it's like one shot. It's barely going to even be in a video. We got more than enough. Why don't we just... Oh, no, no, no. I really like this one. And I think it would, I don't want to do the impression order because it'll give, you got to be careful with this stuff. She really wanted to go. And I'm like, I couldn't tell her, well, you're paying me to do this. And we have to have this done at a certain time because I have something I need to do. Like, that's the job. You're a fucking producer and you got to make it happen. Like, they say they need a ladder. You produce a fucking ladder. I don't give a fuck what it takes. I don't give a to go out and fucking build a motherfucking ladder. I'll show it back at that motherfucker with a ladder. That's what I fucking do. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like grinding my teeth. I'm like, I guess we'll go to Sherman Oaks. Ah! So, okay, now, let me, another thing real quick. The fact is, in this, we get done. This fucking roof was a two-story walk-up up these fucking stairs. Friday night, I was super fucking busy at work doing shit all day. Then I went and worked out, and it was Friday night, and no one was in the fucking gym for, like, leg and back day. So I went fucking, I'm halfway through killing it, because everything's wide open. I can get to all the, usually this place is fucking packed, and, like, the goddamn squat rack and the leg press thing, that you can fucking never, I can never get on that goddamn squat rack. 10 years of going to this fucking LA Fitness in Encino, where they shot that part from fucking 40-year-old Virgin when they break the light bulbs on each other. They still have not thought to, there's so much wasted space in this gym. They still have not got a second fucking squat rack in this place ever. These fucking retards. What one of the most basic fucking things, a squat rack. Like the one of the fucking key ten. If there's a Mount Rushmore of gym equipment, the fucking squat rack would be one of the faces. Still don't have one. So I'm tearing it up and I realize halfway through, oh shit, I gotta fucking walk up all these goddamn stairs tomorrow with all this fucking gear. Grip gear. I mean, there's only six of us. It was, honest to God, the amount of trips and the amount of gear that just like the four or five of us took up and down the stairs, we could have moved a house. It was enough of moving a house. It was big ass lights and giant camera cases and all this stuff. And we had to be there at six. I wasn't able to fall asleep until midnight the night before. So I was super fucking tired. My fucking legs and shit are killing me. And I probably went up and down these stairs probably fucking 75 fucking times. I'm not like 3.5 flights of stairs up this thing, and most of it, like, I'm like sand, like dirt sandbags that weigh 30 pounds, just everything, all heavy shit, you know. So by like 3:30, I am so fucking tired. I was like, holy shit, I'm dying. Now we got to drive to Thousand Oaks. So we split up, me and Dude Bogues, and then the artist, and her guy are gonna meet us up there, and we go out ahead of them because, like, we're supposed to grab lunch. And then they went to go to, like, we wanted to get fucking done, you know. And they go to, like, a sit-down place. And I'm like, I'm not sitting in a rest. We got to go. Like, we'll go and set up ahead of them. We'll get fucking Burger King. And when they get there, we'll be ready to go. We get on the fucking one. This is live in the 405. I mean, the 101 is where the 101 405 interchange is, from what I heard when I worked at the Sherman Oaks Post. Oh, I got to tell that sometime, my post office story. The Sherman Oaks Post Office, according to them, it's the busiest freeway interchange on the planet. 101, 405 down there in terms of sheer volume of traffic. So the 101 heading out towards the beach now. I don't know what is going on with this fucking thing, but it is, I mean, it's never not backed up anymore. Ever. Ever. All fucking weekend, all day, all night. It's fucked. I don't know when this happened. Seriously, like the last, like, 4 or 5 months, all of a sudden that thing is fucked. And there's no reason, because there's nothing really, there's not that many people coming from, I don't know, I don't understand it. And like, we are not moving. Like, this traffic was, this is fucking Sunday afternoon at fucking 2, and it's like fucking rush hour, just jammed. Like, we're barely going. We're just like, what the fuck. And there was some, it turns out up by the Fallbrook exit, which is like way the fuck up past Woodland Hills. This is heading out, you know, towards Calabasas and all that shit. There was two fucking lanes closed. It was down to two lanes for like a mile and a half. And there's absolutely nothing going on. There's like two fucking big yellow county trucks with their hazards on. And a couple guys kind of standing on. No digging. No fucking tractors. No visible work of any kind going on. Just a bunch of people fucking, just a couple vehicles parked and guys walking around the street. I'm like, you fucking have this whole thing closed. For what? It took us fucking probably an hour and a half to get there. And then we stopped at this Mexican place that dude Bugs loves, and I got this fucking chicken burrito. It was this fucking size of a... I was starving. I was so fucking hungry. Dude, going up and down those stairs, and, like, everything's starting to hurt from the night before. When you do back and legs and you train heavy, the next day around 4... I don't know. Maybe this isn't for everybody, but it happened. Sure enough with me, my whole life, around 4 the next day is when my fucking body just collapsed. Everything's like, ugh. It just fucking hurts. And I'm exhausted. I want to go to sleep. I'm a mess. And I need a big fucking meal in the afternoon. And this is like double bad because all the stairs and all the fucking car, you know, all the shit we were doing. And this fucking burrito was like the size of a fucking football. And dude, the minute I wasn't even like, I ate like 3/4 of it. I could have like fallen my face right in my plate and fucking went to sleep. I was like, I'm like, I can't remember the last time I've been this exhausted. I can't even like, I can't even fucking wrap my head around it. We still got to go. So just me and Dude Bogues went to go to shoot in the studio. We finally get to the fucking place. And now it's like 4 o'clock. I'm never going to make this goddamn show. I was like, fucking A. I'm going to miss the fucking show. I've driven to Fresno to work for them. And I'm going to miss the one that's walking distance from my fucking house. I was so pissed. So I missed a fucking show. And we got this studio show. It took us longer to drive there than to shoot. We were done in like fucking... in less than an hour, we got these shots that we needed. That was it. And then we had to fucking go all the way back. I was like, son of a bitch. That was the only fucking crappy part of the day. I was so bummed. But I fucking went home. And I passed out for like fucking 2 hours. And I ended up going to bed that night at like 11. And then like, dude, I just... it took me like 3 days to recover. I'm like, I am fucking getting old. Like, if I was 22, I would have been kind of tired. I would have been tired Saturday. Kind of tired Sunday. By Monday, I would have been the fucking brand new man. I was still feel like my feet hurt so bad from these goddamn sneakers. Like, I couldn't fucking get it together. Like, Monday, I was just exhausted. I think I went to bed Sunday night at like 10. I took a fucking nap, a 2-hour nap on Sunday. No, it was like 90 minutes, right? And I still went to bed at like 11. I was still exhausted Monday. I'm still fucking shot. My calves were fucking killing me. I'm like, oh my God, what am I, fucking 80? This sucks. Fuck, I'm getting old. This sucks. I need my piss and vinegar now, because now things are starting to happen. Her manager loved us, and we did super good. He's like, oh, he's like, we had fucking so much fun. She loved you guys. She loved the video. He's like, I got a whole bunch of fucking other artists that need videos. Like, I want you guys to do them. So, like, we're going to stay. I mean, you hear this kind of shit all the time, but he seemed sincere, and I don't know why we lied, because we genuinely did. Like, she wanted to hang out with us, like, after the shoot. Like, that's how well it went. We were, like, fucking buddies and shit. So, might have more work coming from that guy, but, fuck, I wish I was, God damn it, I wish I was 10 years younger. I shouldn't say that. Like, Luke, you should be happy. You got the opportunity. Things are slowly starting to happen. This is what you want, and you can bring it, hire your friends and have a good time on the shoot. Why don't you just enjoy it? I know that voice of reason for guy, but it'd be so much easier if I was younger. You know, I just enjoy. You're still pretty young. You're still in your mid to later 30s. Why don't you just do it? All right. I'll try, all right? Next time how about this, that character, I won't fucking train my legs double as hard the night before. I fucking don't have a 2-story walk-up. That'd probably be a good idea. You won't be so tired the day after. Yeah, you're right. So that's how that went. It ended up good. They liked us, and we might have more work, despite the stress and the trials and tribulations. It was cool. Like I said, it was like when you're in the midst of it, you're like, this sucks. I don't want to do this anymore. This is a shit gig. I hate it. But then when it's done, you're like, I got all that done. I fucking moved mountains and did whatever the fuck I had to do. And it happened. And the fucking client was happy. And we still had fun. It was tough, but we still fucking, dude, you hire your friends. You fucking have a friend. This is what I want. Like, I want to shoot stuff until we can make legit stuff and get paid. I mean, we're not making our own stuff and getting paid. That's the dream, but like, the first step is like getting in and you know, having that kind of a real company. And it's fucking, that's, how cool is that? Fucking, we had a blast. We all fucking fucked around all day. And then we all got together. It's a tradition we have. We all get together in a circle and we take all our penis, rub all our fucking dickheads together. And we go while we're doing it. It's cool. You know, I don't know anyone else that does that. It's probably an old Native American thing. Maybe it came to me in a dream, but it feels great after. The Oscars happened. I know what you're saying, Luke, or Polly, people are tired of you complaining about black culture and race and the culturally enlightened people that drive you crazy in this day and age. I know you are. So I'm not gonna spend all my time on it should have been called the White Guilt Festival. It's just ridiculous, the amount. I understand you got to address it in an opening monologue. He could have done a couple jokes and made a couple gags. The entire fucking thing was about how fucking racist everybody is. The whole planet is against black people and don't want them in things, and didn't get fucking voted because even though the fucking third biggest movie in history, the fucking main star in it was a black guy, the president of the fucking voting academy was black, the host was black, the guy that conducting the fucking orchestra was black. What the fuck ever, but everyone's racist, so whatever. That's great. But it was a historical, no one's ever won cinematography three fucking times in a row. And the guy's walking up to the fucking stage. Now they do the crawl at the bottom, which is, you know, kind of a good idea. But Chivo, the cinematographer, thanks. And a read to the director, Tom Hardy, DiCaprio, my boss. The fourth fucking name the guy has after the director and the two fucking biggest stars on the planet, my boss. I was like, holy shit. I was so fucking happy for him. That's a fucking career high right there. Like, that's fucking crazy, dude. Like, you're fucking tied in there I can't believe he was the first guy he named after the fucking stars. It's like, whoa. But, so that one, I mean, I just feel, I'm glad. I mean, Sicario was great, too. And, dude, Deakin's got to win sometime. He's one of the fucking best cinematographers in the fucking history of Hollywood. He's the Scorsese cinematographer. 14 fucking nominations and he's never won. Holy shit, when is this guy going to win one? But, like, I don't know. What do I know? I mean, fucking Sicario looked great, but, hang on a second. This goddamn fucking phone. I apologize, everybody. I should have right back. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Hang on, I'll write one more thing. Come on. That's what I wrote. Come on with a W. And then, you know, Revenant won. For as much as I loved all the movies last year, almost everything I fucking saw, 2015 is one of my favorite fucking years ever since actively going to the cinema. Honestly, nothing really jumped out at me. Best Picture. I loved everything, but nothing had that whiplash. Really, nothing had that, except, you know, It Follows, I thought, was the closest thing to a whiplash type of movie last year. But nothing jumped out at me. It's Best Picture. Just, I don't know. Best Actors, none of the categories, nothing really. I guess I'd have to sit and think about it now, because now it's been a while, but even all year, I'm just like, you know, the year was wrapping up, and I saw everything, and I was like, I don't fucking, nothing really, you know, nothing really jumps out as a front runner. But, so whatever kind of, I didn't have that much of a stake in the Oscars. It's like, whatever wins, I don't know. I didn't see Spotlight. No, 35 fucking movies I saw last year. Of, like, the six Best Picture categories, and somehow I only saw two. I'm like, what are all these movies? The fuck is Spotlight in Brooklyn and all this shit? I don't know any of this fucking stuff. I didn't see it. That fucking wins Best Picture. And then Iñárritu, was that his third win or his second? And then it was his second win. He goes up there to make a speech. They're playing him off at 1 minute into his speech. I'm like, Jesus Christ, the guy just won fucking Best Director. You let him talk? You get fucking 3 minutes at the West Side, Mike. They're playing him off at 1 minute? That was kind of fucking rude. And then Amy wins. I just saw that Amy documentary a week or two ago, finally. I fucking love Amy Winehouse. I heard it was great. It was pretty good. But best documentary, Amy? It was historical footage cut together with interviews. It was like a pretty well-made VH1 fucking Behind the Music. I was like, how the fuck did that one? I hate the fucking Oscars. I can't stand it. I usually don't watch them. I only went because I'm doing that Richard Lewis. I usually hate the Oscars. I don't go. I only went because Tree Man had a party and I wanted to see everybody. So I'm watching them. And Rob Bass's wife is there. And I don't know if she's always like this or just when she gets a few. What's going on? Do they have the entire other side? Oh my God. I'm halfway down the hill. What is going on here? They have all fucking lanes stopped on the other side of the 405 coming over the fucking hill at this public pass. I'm just looking. I'm like, something looks weird. Why is it so dark on the other side of the road? They have all fucking lanes stopped. Wow, what a mess. What is going on? Well, it's stopping my fucking lanes because it's looky-loo traffic. I love when they call it. And then we have traffic on the other lanes. Oncoming, when you listen to AM 1070 to tell you the traffic. And then the oncoming lanes are held up for looky-loo. I love that word, looky-loo. Well, they should change it to fucking asshole that can't keep their eye on the road. What happened here? I see a semi. There's like a semi fucking, hang on. Oh, I wish I could get a picture of this. what in the hell is going on here? There's one lone cop car with a big, like, gas tanker, and it's the traffic's like a half mile back. I know this sounds like you're probably like, what's the big deal? But this is like, this is the main artery of the freeway to LA, and they have the entire thing shut down on the fucking southbound side. Wow. What in the fuck? I don't see anything else going on besides a gasoline tanker truck. I don't see an accident. I don't see fucking 900 fire trucks that should be here. I saw one this morning. Maybe I'll put that picture up. Just take a look at this picture with this fire truck and tell me what the fuck this thing is doing there and why it's fucking up the entire Lincoln Boulevard. That's always a mess. I'm so baffled by this. This is so crazy.
Let me try and get a picture. Hang on a second.
I don't think anybody goes to my fucking Flickr anyways, but I'm going to try here. I don't think it's any good. I can't focus. It's hard to focus while I'm driving. Come on, get the fuck out of the way, car.
Okay, I think I got it.
Wow, I feel sorry for those motherfuckers. This is like when you see this shit happen and the whole other fucking side of traffic is completely fucking stopped. Especially for the people that are further back and have no clue what's happening. You feel as bad for them as... Remember that part in Memphis Belle where Sean Astin shoots down... He shoots that fucking Nazi plane. And then when it's going down, it takes out the fucking tail wing of an American plane flying just under him. And they just see that plane spiraling to the ground. They're like, just watching the poor bastards. That's what it feels like, seeing this. What was I talking about? The Oscars? I lost my fucking train of thought. Not that anyone probably gives a shit, because it's just more me ranting about movies that no one probably fucking cares about. Amy. Okay, we're going to walk ourselves back through this. Amy didn't really deserve it. Oh, Oscar party. Okay, so, and like, I like, I won't, I'll try the same name, but I like Rob's wife. I really do. But she's very bossy. She wears the pants in their fucking family. And everyone in there's got a couple drinks. Well, first of all, I show up. There's a fucking old lady there and two little kids. So I can't be like my swearing, screaming self. I'm like, motherfucker. Like, I don't just be my friends. I got to like rein myself in. Like, this is like, that's Luke at 11 with my fucking movie fanaticism and fucking drinking and around my friends. Like, there's no, that's me at my kind of my most obnoxious. But like, she kept like shushing him and she was like shushing me. And I'm like, why are you shushing me? Are you missing this fucking the pompous speech from best makeup artist? Are you a fucking stenographer for the Oscars? You have to hear every fucking word. And like everyone else is like talking, and she keeps like shushing me. I'm like, don't fucking shush me. Like I'm like yelling at her. I'm like, I'm not your fucking kid. I'm not one of your clients. Don't fucking shush me. Fucking think you're talking to. And then I'm thinking like, a lot of the times when they have more like grown up parties when Rob and those guys are there, like they're. They're fucking, those kind of, there's this side crew that hang out with fucking Scotty and Tom and shit. And I notice more and more, I don't get invited to those. And like, oh yeah, we can, because like Rob's coming over today. And I'm like, do they have some kind of like problem with me? Like, oh, he's too loud and obnoxious. We don't want him around, so don't invite him. And she doesn't, I don't know who that's supposed to be. She doesn't sound like that. But then I put two and two together. I'm like, I don't think they fucking like me. And I think they're I don't know, too grown up, or I'm too loud or too crazy for them. So I don't get invited to things like that. And I was like, oh. But that really fucked. Don't fucking shush me. The fuck do you think you're talking to? You're not my fucking mother. Don't ever fucking shush me in front of my fucking friends. Who the fuck are you? Fucking woman. Take your fucking vagina and go get in the kitchen. You can go fucking shush whoever else is fucking subordinate to you, because I ain't motherfucker. But I like her. I don't dislike her. I don't like being fucking put in my fucking place by a woman. Get the fuck out of here. Anyways, so, Leo DiCaprio, fucking Leo DiCaprio, huh? My favorite actor. I'm so happy. I'm so glad Leo finally won. He deserves an Oscar. Oh, it's so great. Finally, he deserves it because he's in movies and he fucking has dialogue. He definitely deserved to beat Matt Damon, who carried the entire fucking movie of The Martian almost by himself, and Leo had six fucking pages of dialogue and fucking crawled around on all fours. in rough terrain, grunting and screaming. Yeah, he totally deserved it over Damon, who ran the every fucking gamut of emotion you could. I don't know if that's the proper way to say that. That you could possibly imagine. Sometimes in one scene, the guy fucking laughed, he cried, he was angry, he was happy, he was conversational. Fucking guy could do it all. He was incredible in that. Fuck DiCaprio. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Give it to him so everyone will shut the fuck up already about the magical Oscar he deserves for no reason. Because no one knows anything about fucking acting. If you know about... I don't think he was terrible. He wasn't terrible in the movie. I didn't watch it and go, oh, he stinks. But it was... Dude, why the fuck was Tom Hardy nominated? What? Tom Hardy was nominated for that role? For what? What the fuck did he do in that movie? It was a fucking complete one-note character. Are you fucking kidding me? I couldn't believe he was even nominated. I was like, are you shitting me? For what? Knowing how DiCaprio acts, this is like what I figured out. It'd be like if you were into magic and you were a magician, and you admired other magicians because you knew what it took to make their trick work. But no one else did. The regular public doesn't know. They just go, wow, look, he just made that fucking thing disappear. But you're like, oh, how did he do that? And, oh, I figured that out. Like, what a clever way. So if it was like that, like, DiCaprio would be like, he would be the hackiest fucking magician ever. But everyone else in the audience is like amazed. Like, wow, he pulled a rabbit out of his hat. How did he do that? It's like, oh, he did it very simply. It's really, really simple, easy stuff with no subtlety or nuance to it. It's all big, loud, flash and bang characters because he's just not that good of an actor and he can't convey any fucking real emotions besides extreme anger or extreme sadness or I guess just talking. I never feel like I'm not watching just DiCaprio in a movie. Everyone else is fucking... Matt Damon is fucking effortless. Michael Fassbender is effortless. They completely fucking disappear into a role. Ugh! Whatever, good. Enjoy your win. Everybody, shut the fuck up. Everybody can be quiet now. Did I miss anything? I think that's it. This is one of the fucking craziest goddamn weeks I've ever... this year's just gonna be crazy. So much, like, so much shit is happening already. There's just massive upheaval at my work. My fucking place is closing. Like, they're just folding up shop, and then I'm getting traded off to another company that's in the building for, like, way more money, which is fucking... finally got fucking making, like, some decent money for 10 fucking years in L.A. So that's cool. And then at the same time, me and Polish Brandon both got fired from the fucking bowling alley because they heard... This whole thing is very fucking weird, but I got a call from out of the fucking blue that somebody heard... the old LGR, and they put a squad on it, and HR got involved, and the bosses got involved, and, oh, if you go back over the years, the things that we've said, mostly him, I mean, I only work there one day a week, so I never had a ton to say about it, but, yeah, a lot of evidence there, so that was, like, basically, like, verbal Jeffrey Dahmer, as far as evidence goes, and the things he said. I don't know if they're still listening or they had people monitoring. Do you know what the interesting thing was? They said they broke down when they asked him. He got interrogated, all this kind of shit. They're like, how many listeners you guys got? And he was like, oh, you know, 7 or 8. According to him and according to them, I don't know how you find this out because I've been trying to find out our listener numbers fucking forever. They claimed that we had 400 average 450 listeners per episode. What the fuck? 450? That's what I did, 450. I had no idea. I was like, get out of here. I don't know where I got the data. I don't know if that's right. But if that is, I can't fucking believe that many people listen to our stupid show. So I guess something good came out of it, at least. But we finally got a lot of listeners. But like I've said for a long time, nothing good has ever come out of us doing a podcast. It's only been bad. We've only gotten in trouble, pissed things off, lost girlfriends, pissed people off, sorry. Lost girls that we were fucking seeing because we said something stupid. Now we're going to ask lost jobs to the fucking mix. I only worked one day a week, so I'll be fine. There's plenty of shit I can do on Saturday. In fact, the reason this other company was going to give me such a big raise is they wanted me to leave that place on Saturday so I could be the Saturday guy for them, which is great because I'd go in there and get fucking so much overtime. I'd make more in one day than I made in 2 weeks of working at the bowling alley. So I think my days were numbered there anyways. But old Polish Brandon, oh, he's going to have to make something happen here. But I don't know. The boss called me of that place to tell. I mean, Brandon told me first, and then they were trying to call me, and I missed the call. I keep trying to call them back. No, now they're not. They're the guys just not picking up the phone. But yeah, man, this is my sixth fucking year anniversary at that place too, and I've never been fucking fired. I've never been, except for that time that asshole fired me off that stupid movie. That time I think I talked about once, a long time ago. But I've never been fucking fired. It blows. But I'm bummed it ended that way. And honestly, it was a job, so it wasn't all fucking sunshine and lemonade. But like that, I liked working there, and it was a fun place to work. And it was a nice 6 years. And I don't know. I don't know if they're listening, but Scott up there, the boss, I liked you, and you were one of my favorite bosses I ever had, and you were a fucking good dude, and I liked you. So I hope there's no hard feelings. I don't know if I'm gonna talk to him about it. As I said, I keep trying to call the guy, but I don't know if he's sitting there listening, but I doubt that too. But just in case, you're a good man, Scott. I'm gonna miss working there. I miss everybody. So it was a good run. Six years, longest job I ever had. But yeah, looking good, radio. All right, just making friends everywhere, just creating all sorts of opportunities. But so this song of the week, WEAK, this song's going out to Mr. Brandon. This is a song by Hatebreed called Perseverance. And the lyrics, Mr. Buster Brown, might apply to you.
I know you're fear of loss and your struggles with fate, and all it takes, everything that you have to face the day. The virtues you possess now bring eternal pain. All you have is contempt for a life you can't obtain. All your heroes have failed you, yet you try to prevail. Face your torment and dismantle your doubts. Reveals this legacy of shame and deceit, cause the only real truth in your life that you know is hostility. Your world is coming apart. Remain steadfast. Perseverance against all opposition, crushing all limitations. Pure strength through solitude, discipline and determination. You can't accept what you've been told. Anchored in sin, you must reverse your descent. Declare the weight of the world has yet to claim you, and admit that your fall will not restrain you. Glimpses of fate bring light to your despair. Realize hope isn't short of your grasp. Resurrect every dream that you buried alive, and never succumb to the war that you fight in your heart. Your world is coming apart. Remain steadfast. Oh, perseverance against all opposition, crushing all limitations. Pure strength through solitude, discipline and determination.
All right. On deck right now, Zachary Stein, up right now.
Uncle Luke.
Uncle Luke, there we go, Uncle Luke.
There was / is a hip hop group called Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah. Woo, woo.
That's right. One thing these guys did was they gave themselves names, code names that exemplified parts of their personality. Kind of like the Spice Girls, but with more drugs and guns involved. There was Crazy Bone, there was Busy Bone, and Flesh and Bone. You had Jimmy Two Times Bone. They called next, he said everything two times, like, I'm gonna go get the rolling papers. No Goodfellas fans in here, fuck! I'm really putting on a 22 on that one, man. Like, I got it. Okay, I guess I'll toss that part of the joke. But how pissed, now there was a guy named Lazy Bone. Now how mad do you think the rest of the people in the group were they didn't pick that name? Because like, they'd be loading the van after the show and shit. You know, he'd like put stuff in there and he'd be sitting there with his feet up. I'm like, yo, am I going to help out? He's like, no, I'm like a lazy bone. I got to keep it real. It's my character. Like, what if the fan sees me, you know? Car would be blown. They wanted to add another guy and call him Hard Working Bone, but they couldn't afford him. I ended up wanting one of them to change their name to Always On Time for Things Bone, but they're like, that's impossible. So, hashtag Oscar so white. If I was a midget, I would hang out outside the gates of the set of the new Star Wars movie. Because sooner or later they're going to need you for something, you know. After a couple weeks they're going to drive by the window all down and be like, alright, you want to play Yoda's brother? I'm kind of jealous of midgets because they have job security, but as long as there's Renaissance fairs and sci-fi movies, you know, they'll have a gig. That's not so bad. Speaking of Star Wars, I took a stroll down the toy aisle at Target to see what the new Star Wars toys look like, which is embarrassing and I feel weird about it. It's even worse when there's a little kid and he starts talking. He's like, I got this one. You're like, yeah, great, get the toy away from me. They're always picking their nose and putting their hands in their mouth and touching things. I fucking hate kids. But what's worse than that is when you see you look up and see a guy coming down the aisle that's like your age and shit. And you know you're both down there as grown men looking at kids' toys that you're interested in. It's almost as bad as like back in the 90s, you'd be in a porn shop and you think you're by yourself in the shemale aisle and you catch somebody else coming and you're like, oh, you got all confused. Like, oh, I'll end up down here, you know. I was looking for Jenna Jameson. If anybody ever said anything, I'd just be like, I'm shopping for a Father's Day present. They always get me. My uncle's visiting in L.A., and he's old. I feel so bad for the guy. He lost a leg at Nam. He'd hacked it off a Viet Cong soldier. Got drunk one night at a bar and left it there. He was going to make a lamp out of it. Fuck that joke. I knew that wasn't going to work. That's such a shitty joke. That's such a the break room in a factory joke. To tell Marty with his shitty beard. The set didn't go very well, and I'm gonna leave now.
Uncle Luke! Alright, off the deck. Let's see. Tim Hanlon. Yay, buddy. Alright, up right now, Zachary Stein.
Thank you.